Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi there, I'm Brianna Contreras, Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite, I spoke with Dr. Amy Parekh, Chief Medical Officer at Grand Rounds. Amy and I talked about the rise of the Chief Medical Officer role, how businesses can benefit from it, and what it means for the future of the C-Suite. We also discussed how her role as a CMO and other C-Suite positions evolved during the pandemic and why it's so essential for businesses to provide advice and clinical guidance to help best keep operations running safely. Hello, Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me, Brianna.
Oh, no problem. Happy to have you as a guest on our Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast.
Yeah, it's amazing to be here.
Glad to have you. So to start off, can you first just tell me what it is that you do and just what is the mission of Grand Rounds?
Yeah. So I'm Amy Parekh. I'm the Chief Medical Officer at Grand Rounds. Grand Rounds, our mission is to raise the standard of healthcare for everyone, everywhere. And we do this through three main sort of products and services. The first one is expert medical opinion. So that's a way, so if you have a diagnosis or a treatment plan and you're not sure it's the right one, we offer expert medical opinion so that we can actually get you on the right path of care. The second is navigation. That's helping members with all of the frustrations of healthcare, understanding their bill, being able to advocate on their behalf when something's not going right, and helping them use data and quality insights to identify the best doctor for them in their network. And the third is virtual care. So we actually take care of patients across the country in a virtual setting today. We offer this mostly to employers, who offer our services to their members and their members' dependents.
Wonderful, thank you. Now, we are discussing positions in the healthcare C-suite today. So can you share what the rise of the chief medical officer role, you know, your role in particular, what is that rise or how is it rose, I guess, in the C-suite?
So most healthcare companies already had chief medical officers. And if you think about their role, it was really to inform the operations sometimes or the strategy for the healthcare company to grow in whatever space it was in. But with COVID, you know, every chief medical officer in the country suddenly also had to become an epidemiologist, a workplace safety expert, and really inform the business strategy for the company. Because while we always knew where you worked and how you worked affected your health and your health affected how you show up to work, I think the pandemic really shone a light on that. You know, for the first time, it was explicitly clear that if you weren't taking care of employees and their dependents' safety and health, you weren't going to be able to meet your business objectives. And similarly, you know, people expected to hear from their employers about their health and safety and workplace safety. So the role of the chief medical officer specifically, I would say really shifted from being focused on if you're a healthcare company, the goals of the healthcare, if you're a large you know, organization that happened to have a chief medical officer, maybe you had it in your benefits space, specifically that role, to becoming a business strategy role. Of how do we stay open? How do we keep our employees safe? How do we get them back to work now? How do we think about vaccinations? All of these questions that are integral to our economy getting back on track became part of the role of the chief medical officer.
Wonderful, thank you. That was actually another question I was going to get into was, you know, how the pandemic affected, you know, your role in particular. But I did want to know also, you know, how it affected other roles in the C-suite, but we can get to that after another question I have. Which is, you know, how can businesses benefit from the CMO or chief medical officer role and what it means for the future of the C-suite.
Absolutely. And one of the great things we've been able to do at Ground Rounds, because we have so many strong clinicians on our team here, is actually offer virtual chief medical officer roles for some of our customers. So these are customers who didn't have a chief medical officer prior because they're probably not in the healthcare space, but realized how critical that insight, that clinical expertise would be for their business strategy. And so we were able to talk to their C-suite about, well, how should we think about thresholds for sending people to work from home? Or how should we think about the prevalence in the community in which we operate? How should we think about behavioral health these days when so many people are struggling with anxiety and depression at record levels? So what we've noticed is for companies who aren't in healthcare naturally, but who needed that sort of insight in their C-suite, this virtual CMO was one way for us to help them think through all the implications of the pandemic for their populations. Does that answer your question, Brianna?
Yes, no, it does.
Thank you. Great. Okay. Yeah.
So I also wanted to ask, you know, why is it important for businesses to provide advice and clinical guidance to help best keep operations running safely through this role?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about most companies depend on their talent to achieve their business objectives. And when your talent is struggling with healthcare questions, you want to make sure that those questions are being answered efficiently, so quickly, conveniently, and accurately. And I think many people will get one or the other right, but what's truly critical is that it's convenient and accurate and from a place of actual true clinical expertise. The last thing you want is to put a patient on the wrong track, right? So telling someone they're at risk of COVID when they're not, now you put them in a 2-week quarantine, or the opposite, right? If you told someone that they probably don't have COVID, but they are actually at risk, you've now put a lot of people at work at risk if they've come into the office.
Right.
So it really what we need to think about for patients and employees or dependents is how can we make sure that they have convenient, quick access to actual clinical insight and information, and that they're not distracted by myths or, non-helpful information, because that could actually distract employees from doing their jobs.
Right. So again, going back to that pandemic question I had, have you seen other C-suite positions evolve or change during this time? And if so, why? Or how?
Yeah, I think the roles of the like CHRO or chief people officer and a lot of the teams that often report up through them, like benefits teams, for example, have truly changed over the course of the pandemic. You know, I think really thinking about business continuity and workplace safety has made people who often thought about benefits think about it in a very different way. So really being proactive and ensuring that their employees have quick, convenient access to care, that they have good behavioral health benefits, that they are thinking about the whole picture, that whole person and their family has been a shift I've noticed. I also just think everyone in the C-suite is starting to look for clinical expertise because they're starting to realize you can't separate your health and your workplace. And even if your workplace is virtual, how you work and how you show up to work depends on the health that the people are feeling. So there's been this overall, I would say, step up in understanding the importance of health in the workplace, as well as I think the role of the CHRO and the benefits teams have fundamentally shifted this year.
Got it. Thank you. Now, as we kind of mentioned before, in celebration of International Women's Day, which is today, March 8th, but you know, for the month as well, what does this day in particular mean for women in healthcare?
So, you know, I was thinking about how I'm feeling about today's International Women's Day versus maybe last year's or the years before. And for me, the data point that is probably sort of popping up in my mind the most is how many women have had to leave the workplace this year. So the fact that, you know, at least 4 times as many women have left the workplace compared to men during the pandemic, I think is a real sign of just the continued inequity for women in leadership, for women in healthcare, for women everywhere. And I hope that it doesn't take a full generation to get back to where women in the workplace were a year ago. In healthcare in particular, you know, women bear a lot of the burden of taking care of patients during the pandemic. If you think about nursing staff, care support, who's in the home taking care of sick patients, it is predominantly women. And I think caretaking is a role that has led to more women stepping away from the workforce. And sometimes that has hurt the healthcare workforce in addition to all workforces. So I think this International Women's Day, I've been spending time on thinking, how do we shortcut our way back up to where we were at least 2 years ago so that women can continue to thrive in whatever industry they choose to spend their lives working in, whether that's healthcare or otherwise.
Right. Thank you very much for that. Now, I also wanted to know, just because, you know, you are in the C-suite position, for women who are in healthcare, who would, you know, who want to be, you know, in your level, C-suite level, leadership level, but maybe are, you know, overcoming some challenges or, you know, coming across challenges to where it's hard for them to get to that level. Do you have any advice for women seeking opportunity?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I guess own your experience. So, you know, women actually make most healthcare decisions in America today. So I think just remembering that your experience and the experience of your loved ones in healthcare is probably very relevant to how other consumers and other people in healthcare are making decisions. So I think the first and foremost thing is, you know, really reflecting on why you want to be in that leadership position and the experience that you bring that maybe someone else might not, just given your lived experience. And then I think the second is really owning your why. So the one thing I ask is whenever someone's, you know, saying, I want to be in the C-suite, I'm like, well, why? Is it because you want to change something in particular? Is it because you want to be able to influence the roles of other women in your organization or other people in your organization that might feel underrepresented or you know, vulnerable in healthcare today? So really owning your why and your lived experience, I think, can help make it feel more real that it's possible to get to the C-suite and then get there.
Right. Thank you. And I probably should have addressed, you know, there are, you know, at least I've been told and I've heard and I've read more about, you know, the challenges that women do face, particularly in the C-suite level. Like I've heard there aren't enough women or there are barriers or challenges that, you know, are against women in that level. So, I mean, can you agree or?
I think the pandemic exposed this more than anything, right? I think we have a long ways to go in this country to make it a truly equitable world. But I'm really hopeful about the future. I have two daughters, and I see their approach to the world, and their approach to just, you know, the future, and I see what, you know, that we're doing as a country and elevating the role of women. And I think those are all really promising. So yes, there are barriers, but I am much more hopeful that every day we're making progress. And again, my hope is that we make faster progress than the sort of backward steps we took during the pandemic. And I think healthcare is a great space for women to really shine and lead. You know, there are so many opportunities today to make healthcare better for everyone. And I do believe that compared to many industries, there's a lot of opportunity in healthcare for that to happen.
Awesome, thank you for that. Is there anything, you know, you'd like to share that maybe I did not address regarding the topic of, you know, CMOs or, you know, other C-suite position levels that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, no, I think there's so much opportunity to improve how people access healthcare over the next 2 years. I think post-pandemic, we really have the opportunity to learn from what went well and where we could do better. And so an example of that is people turn to virtual healthcare in ways and at a pace that I don't think anyone expected. And so how do we really use that going forward to improve high quality access for members? I think we really do think the future of healthcare will be virtual first. And I think chief medical officers and all of a executive suite really have the opportunity to just rethink how they deliver healthcare for their employees and dependents. And it's really exciting because I think we have this future ahead of us that we really have the opportunity to shift and, make it better for people.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, Amy, it was really great talking to you, and thank you so much for, educating me a little bit more on, positions that I didn't have too much knowledge on, but, knew about. So I appreciate that, and thank you for spending some of your time with us today at MHE and tuning in to C-Suite.
Appreciate it, Brianna. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You as well.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.